So let me tell you, I probably shouldn't tell you this part, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. So we had a different show on the schedule for a while. It's a show that senior producer Betsy Kaplan's been working on for a while about puns, but it just wasn't quite ready to do. We didn't have a pun in the oven. You see what I did there. And then I thought, well, what I really want to talk about anyway is Colin Kaepernick and this Nike deal. And so that's what we're going to do today. And we're so excited about the people who have agreed to do it with us, including joining us, as he has many times before, Mike Pesca, host of the Slate Daily podcast, The Gist. You must be listening to The Gist. You must be. And if you aren't, we'll make you. And the author of Upon Further Review, The Greatest What Ifs in Sports History. Also joining us is Charles Robinson, senior writer for Yahoo Sports since 2004, covering the NFL and investigative reporting. Charles Robinson, I'm going to have you kick us off here because you've been studying this deal itself. I guess we know that Colin Kaepernick, this controversial, inactive NFL quarterback, had some kind of dormant deal with Nike. What's going to happen now? He's going to have like merchandise. This is Colin Kaepernick on it, right?
Yeah. I mean, essentially what happened was Colin Kaepernick's been signed to Nike since 2011, and Nike really didn't know what to do with him following the 2016 season, and really in the course of the 2016 season when he began to kneel in protest during the national anthem. And so really 2016, 2017, and the better part of 2018, nothing was happening with his deal. There was no really endorsement. There was no product line. A lot of people had forgotten that Colin Kaepernick was even a Nike client. And somewhat surprisingly, from the standpoint of like Adidas, Puma, others in the shoe industry that knew his deal was going to be ending soon, were essentially starting to have those conversations about, is this someone who transcends sports? Do we want to sign him? And then boom, lo and behold, Nike rolls out a contract extension with Colin Kaepernick, but not just the contract extension, one in which he's going to earn a few million dollars a year in base salary, from what I understand, in excess of $2 million a year in base salary, and then royalties on top of that, that will be tied to product line, a Kaepernick, you know, a shoe, apparel. So it's a pretty big deal from NFL standards. If he's playing right now, that would be considered really a top 10 Nike deal for an NFL player.
Yeah, I had already spent quite a bit of money this summer on some New Balance John Brennan intelligence foam deal shoes, and so I don't really have money for the Kaepernick things. So, Mike Pesca, you are able, as everyone knows, to astrally project yourself. You do so at night in the privacy of your apartment. When you astrally project yourself into the Nike boardroom, into the places where Nike decision makers make the kinds of decisions like the one that they've just made, there almost isn't a decision like the one they've just made. What are you sensing from them? If you had to guess or astrally project, what are they thinking as they do this?
Well, first, they quickly table the motion to market Air Omarosas, so that's one that they're not going to do. I would think that they have more of a finger on the pulse of where their customer base is or where much of America is. And they know that even though in news reports and maybe from the presidential tweet deck, the words that attach themselves to Colin Kaepernick are words like controversial, a word of hate or polarizing, they see him as authentic. And they want to capture the old Nike spirit of being rebellious while at the same time being this gigantic, and we should get into how gigantic, especially as compared to the NFL, but this gigantic successful company. And so they know that when they had Michael Jordan, when they first signed him, he was a pretty unknown player. He was relatively unknown. And then they had Spike Lee do all those commercials, and there was a lot of rebellion to it. And Phil Knight absolutely venerates Steve Prefontaine. Steve Prefontaine is the athlete that's most baked into the Nike culture, to the point where in Shoe Dog, in Knight's book, he says, you know, the last four digits of every phone number of every Nike plant around the world spells out the letters Nike on a phone. But if you spell those letters backwards, it's Prefontaine's best time in the mile. I think 354.6. Is that right? If I'm getting it right. Anyway, so he wants to, I would assume, that they know that the culture is trending in a more authentic, convicted direction where standing up for yourself and being a little rebellious is what we're valuing now in a way maybe we didn't when Michael Jordan was saying Republicans buy sneakers too. Who is the person who represents that? And how can, and it's very hard maybe to be rebellious if you pick someone who's anodyne. And right there in their mix was Colin Kaepernick, and they've done a lot of testing on him, and they know what their customers and potential customers think. And I think that they probably said, you know, this guy has really lived a virtuous life since he was thrust into the public eye, and he really is a good athlete, and he really does inhabit a lot of what we say are our values. I think this guy would be a great spokesman, especially for people who aren't Trump voters, which is to say the vast, vast, vast majority of our customers.
Right. I just I want to point out that my iPhone password is Frank Shorter's birthday. but so Charles, you know, he mentioned Michael Jordan. So Michael Jordan, during his time, took a certain amount of criticism for never being political, you know, for, right. You know, but I think Michael Jordan's answer to that would be there really isn't a big downside to my not being political. And there might be a downside if I were. And mm-hmm. so, you know, nobody's really going to punish me for not having any observable views or principles or anything like that. But it does feel as though the landscape has changed, that in some ways there's a group of consumers coming into the market who kind of really seriously, more seriously than they did about Jordan, want to see some athletes who have some ideas.
Right. I mean, you know, look, I'll say this, Nike knows, in terms of being socially forward, this is not, it's not terribly new territory for Nike. We went through the whole Charles Barkley is not a role model campaign, and that drew a lot of ire. You know, there was a lot of negativity, actually, that surrounded Nike for a while because of that. But then they go into things like If You Let Me Play, which was their Title IX campaign. That was a big ad rollout for Nike, very socially forward. They're good at reading the landscape of their customers. And I think the thing that is really important here that people don't know, and as we've touched on already, they've done market research here. They kind of know what's going on in the marketplace. And while that's not public, that's very proprietary for Nike, we know, and I've gotten my hands on some internal NFL research they did through the GPG Group, which is a Washington, D.C.-based consultants firm. They did it in August of 2017, where they just asked fans about Colin Kaepernick, do you think this is someone who should have a job? And when they got those numbers back, what the numbers said were, this is an individual who is overwhelmingly supported by minorities, overwhelmingly supported by liberals. And when it was the age demographic, and this is what is truly important to Nike right now, the age demographic amongst millennials, it was almost a 3-to-1 support amongst millennials. Now, the NFL knows that data. You know Nike knows that data. So when they're sitting there going, who is absorbing the message? Who are we selling shoes to? Who are we aiming all of this at? Just from a bottom line business standpoint, if you want to inject race into it, the truth is Nike is not aiming for the over 50 white guy. They're aiming for millennials. They're aiming for minorities. They're aiming for a broader base that is, to them, the next wave of shoe buyers. And to them, that's who will be receiving this message. So there is some numbers driving this.
So, Mike, we've sort of gotten this far without mentioning the big orange elephant in the room, but we're going to have to do this. So let's hear how he injects himself into this debate.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired! You know, some owner's going to do that. He's going to say, that guy that disrespects our flag, he's fired. And that owner, they don't know it. They don't know it. They're friends of mine, many of them. They'll be the most popular person in this country because that's a total disrespect of our heritage. That's a total disrespect of everything that we stand for, okay? Everything that we stand for.
We had to bleep that expletive, but if you'd like to hear expletives, they are on the Gist every single day. Mike promises right at the beginning of the show that you can hear explicit language. Although I often listen, and there's just like not as much explicit language as I'm expecting after that guarantee. So, there's a way, Mike. I think you know, and I think it bears pretty well down upon the kinds of inside Nike information that Charles was sharing with us. There's a way in which this wasn't supercharged and probably wouldn't be supercharged in the way that it is if Trump had stayed out of it. You look at some of the polling, and there's a lot of noise, but there doesn't really seem like there's this huge, overwhelming sense that you know something has to be done about Colin Kaepernick.
No, I totally agree, and It's not Kaepernick anymore. It's the people who took up his cause, or at least the other players in the NFL, you know, Malcolm Jenkins and that lot, who are protesting still. And so what I always say about the presidential protest or the presidential comments, the presidential protest, let's put it that way. What I always say is it wouldn't shock me if there was some really, really small effect of the man with the biggest megaphone in the United States constantly denigrating your product week after week. I mean, there has to be, I would think, there has to be a very small, low single digits effect on turning people off, Trump fans who are very casual fans of the NFL, who are saying, oh, now, or unconsciously saying, I no longer have fairly warm associations with football now because of what Trump said. But, you know, the major thing and why it works for Trump is that it is true the NFL ratings are going down, but they're going down for the reason that all ratings are going down. And, you know, you can't expect the Trump fan or the Trump acolyte to understand the difference or want to understand the difference between causation and correlation. So once you have that correlation, I suppose it's plausible enough and it's impossible to disprove, but you could say these ratings are going down and it's proof that we're on the right side of this cultural issue. Even though I posit that that's not why the ratings are going down, but even stronger, like the Nike market research shows, they're probably on the wrong side of the cultural issue. And in a way, it says something a lot about democracy. In a way, our actual electoral system with, you know, the votes in the electoral college and who really gets to vote and who does vote is less democratic than a shoe company's marketing campaign. Because the shoe company, sure, it can emphasize more younger potential customers. But it does seem that Nike is understanding the mood of more Americans than the quote-unquote democratically elected president of the United States.
You know, and also, Charles, it's almost impossible to describe how big Nike really is. First of all, they make the damn uniforms. I mean, the uniforms that the NFL players are playing in, Nike makes those. But, you know, I was trying to gauge Kaepernick's popularity right now. At one point, I just typed into Google most popular football player, and it turns out it's Cristiano Ronaldo, which is a good point because, in fact, Nike makes and sells stuff all over the world. In a way, you know, whatever disgruntled poop kicker, you know, group is going to get really mad at Nike and burn their socks or something like that. I mean, when you look at them that way, they're not the bucket. They're a drop in the bucket.
Oh, yeah. It's not even at the end of the day. I know everyone, not everyone. There were individuals who made a big deal about Nike's stock dropping 3% the day after the Kaepernick announcement. Well, OK, Nike's also up 30 points. So that 3-point drop really is not to Nike. It's nothing. It's a dip. And it's I don't even think they correlate, that kind of a stock hit. At the end of the day, Nike knows what it is. It's a wide moat company. When you talk about, you know, stocks, its next nearest competitors are what? Adidas, Puma, Under Armour. Well, if you add up the market cap, the value of Adidas, Puma and Under Armour, there's less than half of what Nike is worth. That's how global that brand is. That's how strong that brand is. And the football end of it, while it is very lucrative, is still a very small fraction of, you know, really how Nike makes its money. And even this spokesperson, you could argue that the most successful spokesperson right now in the Nike arsenal is a Serena Williams. There's other athletes that far eclipse the impact of of Colin Kaepernick in the world of sport. That's why this, I think, for Nike, from a supplemental standpoint, is so important, because this takes them back into the edgier world of social politics, of, you know, forward message. Whereas a lot of those spokespersons can't do that in North America, Colin Kaepernick right now absolutely can. So I think that's part of this play for Nike.
Mike, were you surprised that – go ahead. Just go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to point out, if you want to talk about the size of Nike, they're so much bigger than the NFL. And we always say, well, the NFL is big business, and there's a lot riding on Colin Kaepernick. Phil Knight is richer than any owner. He's richer than Paul Allen. He's probably richer than the 12 poorest owners or the 15 poorest owners of NFL teams. Nike makes $35 billion a year in revenue. The NFL makes $14 billion a year in revenue.
Inject into that so people can understand this, the Dallas Cowboys are considered to be the most in liquidity. If you were to dole out in liquidity, purchase the Dallas Cowboys, it's going to cost you about $4.5 to $5 billion. Add it up. Okay, so the Carolina Panthers just sold for $2.6 billion. Nike could buy every single team in the NFL tomorrow and still have $20 to $30 billion in market cap to play with.
Woo! So, Mike, were you surprised when President Trump did finally comment on this? It wasn't really with the kind of heat and fire that we associate with him. He sort of talked about, you know, that the whole idea of protest is fundamental to America. I wouldn't necessarily do this. I don't necessarily agree with this. Blah, blah, blah. He made some comment about how they pay him some rent, too, which sounds to me like an emolument, but whatever. But it seemed as though suddenly he didn't want to go where he always goes. Is it just that he uses this particular issue on days when Michael Cohen pleads guilty and Manafort gets found guilty, and he just wants to talk angrily about something else?
Yeah, that's probably a part of it. I would think that as his case gets weaker and weaker, he backs off more and more outrageous statements, but that's inverse to his actual policy. It is funny to me, we were talking all about the Nike boardroom and them doing market research and focus grouping. You know, Trump talks and he decides what to emphasize based on his focus group of going before a live crowd. I mean, that's famously why Drain the Swamp became such a mainstay of his campaign. He said it once, he was actually doubtful that it would play, and it played really well. Well, you played that clip of him talking about it, and those fans in Alabama hooted and hollered about Nike, and I guess then, you know, Roy Moore did lose the Senate race eventually. But it seems that now the showman of him, the guy who has his understanding of what his base wants, maybe you could say that they're sensing, that he's sensing that this going into this season isn't the issue it was, doesn't have the distractive potential. And maybe it did have the distracting potential when all we had was that ratings are down and players are protesting. But now we have this huge business that's a lot better and smarter and richer than everyone else in the NFL. And by the way, of course, smarter and richer than Donald Trump. Now that this huge business has cast their lot with Nike, and now that we're going to see in real time a sort of referendum on it because the stock is going to go up or down, maybe he's realizing that it's less effectively polarizing than it once was, but maybe not.
Right. So, Charles, last question here. This is kind of lead us into the conversation I'm going to be having with a creative director at an advertising agency in the next segment. But this is, Charles, I think, how dumb Nike is. You know, Betsy Kaplan, our senior producer with whom you've been dealing, and the woman with whom I share my life, with whom you have not been dealing, both of them, I talked to them today. And, you know, when I bring up, like, gap responsibility in the 3-4 defense, they often don't seem to be as knowledgeable as I would expect them or want them to be. Each of them said they could imagine buying Kaepernick merchandise. Nike right. has figured out a way to sell football players merchandise to people who don't watch football. That's right. How dumb they are.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's I will tell people when it comes to the NFL, and I've covered the NFL on and off for what, 18 years now. I notice the certain far reaching aspects of the NFL only when my mother knows, you know, my mother doesn't know anything about the New England Patriots, but she knows who Tom Brady is and that his wife is Giselle, you know, so there are certain things that, you know, transcend sports into entertainment and culture. And, you know, that That is a very powerful thing today in sports. And it always, I mean, it has been obviously for a very long time, but when you can sell both sides of that fence, the people who are deeply involved in the minutia or the granular parts of the game, but then also capture the people who watch the Super Bowl for the commercials, you're winning. And really, let's be honest, that's how Nike has become a $130 billion company, is because they're winning both aspects of that. We talked about, you know, Michael Jordan. He mushroomed under the Just Do It campaign. He and Spike Lee, at that time an actor and director, you know, Mars Blackman, that was the campaign that pushed, you know, Michael Jordan out culturally and from an entertainment standpoint, not just the basketball. It was pairing him with Spike Lee and the Just Do It campaign. So, like I said before, Nike is very good at this. And I would bet that when we see the returns, the stock returns, the sales returns from the holiday season, we're going to end up seeing that this is a winning issue for Nike.
Mike Pesca, final thought? Yeah.
Can I ask Charles a quick question?
Yeah.
Do you think Nike is gleeful that there's this social media campaign of old angry Trump fans burning their Nikes?
Absolutely, because I think that, you know, we've heard the cliche before, there's no such thing as bad publicity. And Nike is sitting there, and what? I think it was Apex Marketing came out and said, look, we would value the attention that they got in the first 24 hours after this announcement at $43 million. That's $43 million of free advertising. Whether it's positive or negative, it's all net positive to Nike.
All right. Final thought, Mike Pesca? Or I have a question for you.
Go.
Okay. So, very few athletes are able to transcend their sports. But one who did, and who's analogous to Kaepernick in certain ways, is Muhammad Ali, right? There are a lot of people who couldn't stay in boxing who loved Muhammad Ali or hated Muhammad Ali. The difference seems to be that Muhammad Ali paid a big price for the political stance that and the religious stance that he took in his day. Kaepernick obviously has paid a big price too. He's been colluded, you know, out of a job. But there does seem to be a way in which, you know, we're just living in a very, very different time. I don't know if you'd want to expand on that.
Yes. Muhammad Ali was much more accomplished in his sport than Kaepernick was. Let's note that. My colleague, Josh Levine, wrote an article a couple months ago that I thought might have been premature, but now I agree with it. Colin Kaepernick's already won. And another way that he won, and a comparison with Muhammad Ali, is he gets to live his life, live by his convictions, make his money, and also escape head trauma. And that's something Muhammad Ali, when you talk about paid the price, I think you meant socially, but physically Muhammad Ali was felled by his sport, and we're not even thinking that maybe Kaepernick came out luckier than every other quarterback who was made to play the game to make his money.
Right. All right, we're going to stop there, but we've been very fortunate, as I said, in our guests, Mike Pesca, host of the Slate Daily podcast, The Gist. You better listen to today's episode, see what he's going to come up with. Charles Robinson, senior writer for Yahoo Sports, covering in the NFL, and investigative reporting as well. When we come back, we're going to join the world of advertising, see how Nike's thinking. Lace them up, lace them. Blue suede shoes stay crispy like bacon. Nikes on my feet make my cipher complete. I stay shining like the lights on the street in the night. Revis take me shopping when I'm up in New York. Hit the shoe store, go and cop a few more. All right, we are back. And now by we, I mean me and Pat Dugan, creative director and copy chief at Adams & Knight in Avon. You've heard him several years on our post-Super Bowl show. So more football now. So Charles, in the previous segment, made the point that, you know, famously, there's no such thing as bad publicity. So Nike, 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 Nike for days and days. This would be hard for somebody like you to arrange under other circumstances. I assume you think that probably is on balance good.
Yes, definitely. It's hard to top this for the advertising value. I think they said $43 million. And, you know, if you do a search for this on social media, there's kind of two images that pop up that you always see. One is that kind of sad image of someone who's kind of raggedly cut the tops of their Nike socks off. Mm-hmm. Nothing, you know, that great about that. But the best one, I think the one that Nike probably is publicizing now, is the one of the pair of sneakers on fire. And you couldn't ask for a cooler, edgier, hipper image for them to be associated with.
Right. And I've been on Twitter urging people, if you are planning to set your Nike socks on fire as a protest, make sure you take them off first. It's just a little public health tip. So one of the things that's really difficult to do in advertising, but is one of the grails, I would assume, of advertising, is to get people to switch brands. You know, people form allegiances with brands. So I'm wearing some Brooks running shoes right now. Mm-hmm. Most of my running shoes are New Balance. It's mostly because I think they sort of fit me better. I just like them better. I've never been crazy about Nike. And, of course, they had some labor. They always had a little bit of a labor taint to them, about overseas labor. I'm thinking about buying. If I could find some Kaepernick shoes that, you know, that fit, I would probably buy them. I mean, that's kind of an interesting accomplishment too, right? If you could get people interested in your brand who didn't like it before.
Yeah, especially, you know, I don't think Nike has really stood for much, you know, in the recent recent years or so, and now this is really helping them stand for something again. It's making that Nike logo that has been kind of like invisible recently feel like it means something again. The guys talked earlier about, you know, Spike Lee and Michael Jordan and kind of what the Nike logo stood for back then. It feels like it's kind of like, you know, shrunken in aspect and kind of more like a Coca-Cola, McDonald's type of logo that people see but don't really see. But this kind of gives it some edge that it kind of needs.
The other part of this, it seems to me, is, I mean, when I think sometimes we kind of think backwards when we're thinking about Kaepernick and sports merchandise and stuff like that. The truth is, sports merchandise isn't like toothpaste. You can sell toothpaste, you can sell Crest toothpaste in every single city. There isn't a city where they don't buy Crest toothpaste. But the truth is, a Tom Brady jersey, that market is probably capped at New England Patriots fans and people whose name is Brady, you know? And other than that, I mean, I hate the Patriots. I wouldn't buy a Tom Brady jersey if I had a sucking chest wound I needed to stuff something into. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of true all along. You know, there might be some people who would buy a Cam Newton jersey or something because they just think he's cool. Or it used to be I would see people in Favre jerseys who weren't really Green Bay fans. But mostly this is a pretty restricted to geography or fan base market, like player by player jersey, team jersey by team jersey. Suddenly you've got a guy, I would imagine people in any market might conceivably buy a Colin Kaepernick thing.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. He's sort of half athlete, half sort of cultural icon right now. And I'm sure that appeals to, you know, far more people than if he were just an athlete. And the other thing to remember is that he's, you know, this is a global campaign. We're looking at it, you know, sort of from an American perspective, but the new Just Do It campaign is being rolled out across the world. And there's so much more potential there.
Yeah, and I mean, people keep saying that Kaepernick is polarizing. And I keep thinking, you know who's polarizing to me? The other 31 NFL teams that I don't like and everybody who plays on them. That's who's polarizing to me. I don't like those people. I would never buy, once again, I would never buy any of their merchandise. And there's, I think, another part of this. Now, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I also feel as though, and that Nike is sort of looking to Serena Williams, Odell Beckham, people who have a little bit of an edge. You know, I mean, maybe people don't want, I mean, Mike Trout is, you know, either the best or second or third best player in baseball. But I just wonder if people really want Mike Trout stuff. He's just kind of not that interesting, right?
Right, yeah. And that's a great point because the whole Just Do It campaign has always had that sort of tinge of like sort of groundbreaking, iconoclastic athletes. The other people in this, Colin Kaepernick has been called the face of this campaign, but he's actually just part of a larger campaign with Serena, Odell Beckham Jr., like you mentioned, skateboarder Lacey Baker. There's a one-handed Seattle Seahawks linebacker. So yeah, there's a big sort of overall theme of these sort of groundbreaking athletes, very bold, which is what, you know, Just Do It started with back in the 80s.
Right. You kind of more and more. I mean, Nike has dabbled in this in the past, and I mean Charles Barkley famously doing the "I'm not a role model" commercials maybe a little bit different. But it does seem as though, I mean, it used to be that your goal as an athlete was to not say anything interesting. I mean, there's that famous scene in Bull Durham where Kevin Costner is teaching Tim Robbins how to say the most anodyne and empty things that will never make any news and never commit him to anything whatsoever. You know, and that was sort of how you survived. You know, you concealed who you were. But I also feel like millennials in particular are craving authenticity. You know, they like people like Jon Stewart, you know, who wear their emotions right out where they can see them.
Right. And then you touched on it earlier, but yeah, millennials are where it's at right now. And 61% of them want their brands to take strong stands on social issues, not just stands, but strong stands. And, you know, Nike's fighting off younger, hipper brands like Vans and Puma. For the first time last year, Nike didn't have the most popular sneaker. The Adidas Superstar was, I believe. So I think they're really looking for that way to appeal to millennials and sort of get back into that kind of edgier conversation.
By the way, we'll take your phone calls if you have your own comments about what this means and whether you think it's a change in the weather, and if so, what kind of change. 860-275-7266. 860-275-7266. So there's a way in which I think Charles might have said this in the first segment that, you know, since he became controversial, then what Colin Kaepernick has done is lead this kind of, I think Charles used the word saintly existence, but I mean, he's given a lot of money to charity, he's trying to be a really good citizen, all this kind of stuff. And so I gather that Nike is going to fuse his involvement with a kind of Know Your Rights campaign, or I mean, just there'll be some kind of positive civic lesson that they'll try to teach out of all. It's not just edginess and, you know, fight the power, right?
Right. They have said they're going to donate money to his Know Your Rights campaign from the new apparel and the new Kaepernick sneaker. They haven't said how much or what percentage, but certainly doing something there. It's kind of interesting to see, like, you know, how far they take their involvement right now. You know, I think there's kind of a thin line in the ad that everyone's talking about where they're sort of celebrating him and his courage as opposed to really like diving into the issue themselves. You know, most people won't see that line, but I think it exists there for a reason. So we'll see how far they go with it.
Right. The initial ad that we saw, the one that I guess Kaepernick started by tweeting on Monday, you know, I mean, it's not about the specific issues that he's involved with. It's more stick to your principles, whatever your principles are, message, right?
Right. It's the headline is believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything, which is, you know, kind of a feel-good sentiment and sort of vague. One of the guys you have on here a lot, one of my colleagues, Rich Holland, I know, took some issue with it and wanted to make it very specifically about police brutality, which I totally understand that. But I think that's at odds with sort of the higher level, more universal appeal of the Just Do It campaign and kind of the sentiments behind it, which are very much these sort of anthemic, empowering ideas.
And by the way, once again, you can call us at 860-275-7266. Is this going to make you buy Mike Nikes like if you never have before? I'm in conversation with a number of people, including myself, about that very idea. Or is it going to make you burn Nikes? And if so, if you picked a safe spot in your yard to do that, 860-275-7266. One of the things that I think a lot about, Pat, and I don't think about it as systematically as you do, but I think I might be right about this. You know, years ago, we started talking about the concept of the long tail, you know, and there's a way in which it's better to have 300,000 really passionate followers than a million people who just think you're pretty good, you know, think you're really cool, something like that. Because if you want somebody to buy an $180 pair of sneakers, they're probably not going to do it if you're just sort of Cam Newton and you're not a Panthers fan and you just kind of think Cam Newton's, yeah, he's a really good football player. Mm. That's not going to make me spend $180. So, no, it's not that Colin Kaepernick has to get 51% of sports fans on his side or anything like that, right? He has to really command a passionate enough following so that people, a large group of people, will go out of their way to make, I mean, from Nike's point of view, Kaepernick may be thinking about this in a whole different way.
Right. Well, even if, you know, even if they don't buy, you know, specifically whatever the new Kaepernick merchandise is, it'll be interesting to see what that looks like since he's not really associated with a team now, right?
Right.
I don't know exactly what colors it's going to be or anything like that. But even if they don't specifically buy that, you know, I think it's going to that Kaepernick aura is going to rub off on Nike and just translate to the logo itself. And people are just going to buy more Nike apparel in general just to kind of have that say something about them. I'm sort of on the side of progress or activism or whatever they want to attach to the Nike brand.
And it really is sort of interesting the way, I mean, I the only parallel, oddly enough, that I can think of between Colin Kaepernick and another creature of the sports world is the Whalers. The Whalers don't play hockey anymore, but they're like their merchandise is really popular. So among the, I think it is more popular in some cases than merchandise of active hockey franchises, at least in some markets. And here's Colin Kaepernick not playing football. And this is unusual to have an inactive athlete. He's not inactive by choice. And to have him have that kind of market power.
Right. And, are they going to give him, you know, his own special logo? The Whalers certainly have an iconic logo, so that's helping them a lot. And I think, wearing it says something about you if you're out there with a Whalers jersey on.
That's a really interesting question. What would a Kaepernick logo look like? I mean, there's like a lot of people working on this right now, right?
Right. Yeah. I don't remember seeing one, but, you know, Michael Jordan's got the Jumpman one. There's certainly been other ones out there. So, you know, what is the logo? You know, what does it stand for? What kind of meaning do they try to infuse into it?
They can't just do CK because Calvin Klein. You know, they've got to do... They've got to do something, as you say, something that kind of looks like something.
Right, exactly.
That's a really fascinating question. Okay, we got a lot of people calling in here. I declare that what we're going to do, Pat Dugan and I are going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll take a few of your phone calls. We got some more things we want to talk about. 860-275-7266. 860-275-7266. Give us a call. A lot of people already are.
Today's show was produced by Betsy Kaplan, with help from me, Kyone Wolf. The part of Bill Curry was played by Merlin Olsen. On tomorrow's show, the science of the search for meaning. And now, back to Colin.
All right, we are indeed back. We are talking about Colin Kaepernick's resurgence and reemergence, not as a football player, but as one of the leading spokespersons for Nike's new advertising campaign and merchandise as well. Pat Dugan, creative director and copy chief at Adams & Knight and Avon, is here with me. One thing that maybe Charles didn't mention this, so we should mention it, Pat. I mean, one reason that I'm sure Nike has spent a lot of time thinking about this, focus grouping it, working out how to do it. But there was also this rumors that as Kaepernick's contract with Nike, which had been around for a long time, got close to its expiration, there were other suitors sniffing around.
Right. Yeah, I heard Puma and Adidas mentioned as people who were kind of getting ready to snap him up if Nike didn't want him anymore.
So that'll always, you know, if you're dating somebody and won't make a commitment to that person will usually start dating somebody else. All right. So that may have probably, that very probably, it might explain also why. I was on the Nike official store site today and I typed Kaepernick into the search field and there were no products. It kind of just directed me to a generic Nike, you know, here's what we're doing these days page. All right, so let's go to the phones here. We're going to start with Tony in New Haven. Up. No, we're not going to start with Tony in New Haven. He has gone. Tony, call us back if you want to, though. All right, here's Sandy in Glastonbury. Hi, Sandy. You're on the air. I'm not doing well with phones right now. Sandy, can you hear me? And she may have the radio on. All right, I'm going to keep trying here. Fortunately, I have a lot of phone calls to pick from. All right, let's try Michelle in Winchester. And if this one doesn't work, I'm going to give up on phone calls. Oh, Westchester, excuse me. Michelle, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh,
can you hear me?
I can hear you, too, yes.
I have good cell phone reception.
You sound just fine, just fine. So what's on your mind?
My comment was I agree with the football player in his action. And it's not disrespectful to take a knee. When you take a knee, that's what you're doing in a cemetery or any other religious thing anyway. But I was looking up word in a dictionary I needed to write a letter, and Nike means victory, and yes. I believe it's Greek.
The winged goddess of victory. Yeah, that is correct.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So you're writing like a letter to the editor or something?
No, to my brother.
Oh, just a letter to your brother. All right. Well, I hope the letter goes well. Thanks for calling in. We were talking about that, the fact that we haven't seen the Kaepernick logo. If they wanted to be really edgy, Pat, they could do some kind of kneeling figure. My guess is they're not going to accentuate that aspect of Kaepernick. But
yeah,
who knows?
I wouldn't be surprised if some sort of activism message gets in there, but it'll probably be fairly subtle.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Eric in Farmington. Hi, Eric. You're on the air.
How you doing there?
Fine.
So I'm applauding this move by Nike. I think it's a courageous move for a courageous guy. And I think it's a shrewd business move. And I love your discussion, especially about what logo they'd use. I personally like a kneeling Afro guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, there could be one product maybe they do that with, but I'm guessing, I defer to Pat, he's the advertising guy, but I'm guessing they're not going to be that on the nose about it.
And the timeliness worries me about that, too. I'm sure they want this to be a long-lived brand, and, it may come to mean more over the years. The Jordan Jumpman logo is timeless, but the kneeling Afro guy, as you say, might have a shelf life.
Right. And I mean, it's an interesting question, too, that, I mean, I think we've alluded to this, but Colin Kaepernick's collusion lawsuit against the NFL, alleging that they're essentially keeping him out of football, that the NFL owners are colluding to deprive him of employment, has been given a go-ahead by a judge right around this time. But there's no real guarantee that this man will ever play football again. It's an unusual thing that this, Pat, it could split in either of two directions. Maybe somebody, particularly as a result of what Nike's done, and if there's sort of a lot of approval and approbation that goes with that and everything, and if the Kaepernick stuff is flying off the shelves and you're the Cleveland Browns and you're thinking, maybe we should take a chance. There's sort of that. Or there's this idea that this logo and this brand and everything, the mentality that goes with it, has to last through the entire winter of Colin Kaepernick's athletic career.
Right, exactly. Someone mentioned earlier about the, they kind of had him under contract and were figuring out what to do with him. Now they've sort of figured out what to do with him. They made him the face of this ad that's everywhere all of a sudden, but they still have to figure out what to do with him if he's not going to be playing, especially. So I know they did say that the Just Do It campaign is being rolled out to target cities, Mexico City, Shanghai, Beijing, Seoul, Milan among them. So, whether he's part of that rollout, I don't know. They haven't really said what that rollout is, but, is he going to become kind of a traveling spokesperson?
Right. I mean, he's got free time, so presumably he could do that. I wouldn't be surprised if this were an event-driven thing, that they're going to do kickoff events in a lot of these cities. And the page that I got directed to today, which they couldn't send me to a Kaepernick product, kind of was more about events. They didn't mention a Kaepernick event, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if they do stuff like that. Let's go to Steve in Franklin. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi, Colin. Just a quick comment, and then I'll get off so you can speak on it. I applaud what Colin is Kaepernick is trying to do. I just wonder if we're losing some of the focus by talking about the logo that might come out for him, or how shrewd a strategy this was by Nike. Would he not have accomplished more about the real issue that he's trying to have us focus on by perhaps, maybe in a low-key way, meeting with the local police, with colleagues, with teammates, maybe with the team, and setting up sessions showing youth in school, 17 and 18-year-olds, that, we're not enemies, we're friends. These people here are to protect us, and setting up that type of way of getting the message out there rather than than this approach. My thought is that he might have accomplished more by doing that.
But, I mean, he does already have civic organizations, his own civic charities, this Know Your Rights movement, all that kind of stuff. I mean, he's also been a major donor to charities that help inner city kids, has spent a lot of the money that he did get from his NFL career on this. It's not like this. I mean, I think it's sort of unfair to suggest this is the only thing that he's doing. He's been doing tons of the kind of stuff, exactly the kind of stuff that you're talking about.
Is he doing it together with the police?
I don't know how many times he's actually collaborated with the police on this, and whether or not the police want to collaborate with him would be another question. And Pat, I know this is maybe a little bit outside of where you necessarily want to go. Although one thing I will say about this is that I think one thing that happened to Kaepernick was, to a certain degree, he let himself get defined in the wrong way. An awful lot of people talk about this as disrespect for service members, disrespect for the American flag, and stuff like that. And Kaepernick was very clear from the beginning. He was concerned about racial injustice, and he was especially concerned about Black Lives Matter issue. But in some way, like if you ask the average, if you look at the expressions about this on Twitter and stuff like that, people bring up members of the military service and the flag and stuff like that, which was never where he wanted to go. And that may have been a little bit of an error on his side. He may have needed to pay more attention to how his protest got understood.
And that's a great example of what Nike can do for him. You know, yes, of course, they're in it for business and marketing themselves. But if they can help him sort of reframe the whole issue. And Steve, I think your ideas are great in terms of, you know, could a campaign, a Nike campaign, show him actually outdoing some of those things and working with police officers and start to bring a little bit more of a positive message to it and showing what he actually is doing since he's not on the field. I think there's some good thoughts there.
All right. Here's Bob from Manchester. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Hi. Just a quick comment. My only problem with the whole thing is that Nike's history of the way their product is made, and themselves are known for treating people poorly. I think they're using Kaepernick, basically. I thought he could have probably done something with somebody else that didn't have such a sordid history.
Right, so we should say that Nike had a very sordid history in the 90s, and then they kind of cleaned up their act, and I'm told by my producer, Betsy Kaplan, worked with independent monitoring groups for a while, and lately there's some reports that they're kind of slacking off with that kind of stuff a little bit, may have kind of drifted back into some of their evil ways. But on the other hand, I mean, there's also a way in which you put pressure on yourself as a company. If you're going to associate yourself with Colin Kaepernick and Serena Williams and people like that, maybe ultimately, Pat, there's a way in which that puts a little bit of pressure on Nike to be the good guys.
Yeah, definitely. I think you don't do this unless you're ready to sort of back up your words and actions and image. So, and they have gotten in some trouble recently, I think, for some workplace issues or something like that. So they're definitely, I'm sure, looking at this as sort of a way to help people look at them differently.
Right. I mean, which is not to dismiss Bob's point at all, but I mean, they definitely had a problem. It seemed for a while like they were working on that problem. They may have drifted away from their core principles. But I mean, you know, this might be a way to lead them a little bit back. If they discover, they seem to be under the impression right now, and I don't think it's a false impression, that principles are fashionable. And I guess one other thing that we can say here, maybe we'll grab one more call before we're done, but actually, let me grab the call so we don't run out of time here. This is Patty in Norwich Town. Hi, Patty. You're on the air.
Hi, Colin. I'm calling with a comment made by my mother, who passed away in her 100th year at the end of this past April. Mm-hmm. But she was she listened to NPR. She was blind, so audiobooks and radio were her source. Mm-hmm. And she went off on a rant when this whole thing came out about Colin Kaepernick, and her comment was, if this man wanted to show disrespect, he could have turned his back or raised his fist. He got down on a knee. And when you are on your knees, you are showing reverence. How else was he going to call attention to this racial injustice? And then she continued on and on, and I was astounded. My mother was quiet, humble, unassuming. But I guess she turned into a philosopher in her older age. So I just want to put that out there. That I really do not think of it as disrespect.
Patty,
disrespect was burning the flag.
Right.
It's a whole different. It's a whole different thing.
Patty, your mom sounds pretty cool. Thanks for calling.
You're so welcome.
Sounds
I just
like a good
wanted
lady.
To get it out there. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. We are out of time. I'll just quickly just stop and, first of all, thank everybody who helped to get the show together and thank my guest here in the studio right now, Pat Dugan, creative director and copy chief at Adams and Knight in Avon. Betsy Kaplan is very upset that I denigrated her understanding of gap responsibility in the 3-4 defense. That's obviously something we'll have to air out in our staff meeting or one of our drum circle retreats. But thanks to everybody who listened. Thanks to everybody who helped. Thanks to Wolfie on the board there. And we'll be back tomorrow.